Often on our show, we do interviews with interesting and brilliant people that are way too long for the radio, but that we still want you to hear. So we're putting the entire thing here in the source code. It is an uncut version of an important conversation. This one is Michelle Taylor, a writer, activist, and social worker who tweets and writes as Feminista Jones. She talked to me about the power and potential of Black Twitter. Here is Feminista Jones in the source code.
Well, I do go by Feminista Jones. That is the name that I write under and speak under. And I consider myself a social justice warrior. I know it's become a bit of a slur, but that is exactly what I am. I am somebody who has been committed to social justice for marginalized communities. I am a social worker by trade. I'm also a writer. So I've been doing this work for about 15 years now. And I'm just here trying to make a difference.
So how would you describe Black Twitter?
You know, it's really interesting because I was one of the first people to write about Black Twitter back in 2013. And I wrote about it as being a force for activism and kind of like an underground railroad for activism. And I was talking then about the early use of hashtag campaigns and things like that to rally people together. And so what I would say is that, you know, Black Twitter is a community like any other community. And I would say community is one of those things where people find common interests, common language, common cultural experiences. And I think that we have created this community in this online space where we gather together to basically, you know, talk about what's going on in the world and work together, network, build friendships, people find relationships. I mean, it's a community like you would go to any community with a zip code. You know, this particular community has a hashtag, Black Twitter. And that my understanding of Black Twitter over the last 5 years that it's been written about is really that it's a community of people coming together with shared interests.
Yeah. And when do you think, you know, Black Twitter is not underground now, at least not on my Twitter feed, and clearly not in American culture. And when do you think that sort of crossover happened, when it became a thing, like a cultural force to be reckoned with?
I think when police decided that they wanted to be flagrant with killing Black people in the street, I think that if you go back to when Oscar Grant was murdered, I think that was like the first time that we saw mobilization on Twitter that was, you know, that centered Black people and experiences. And then from there, it was like Trayvon Martin. And then from there, you know, it was like we're going into Eric Garner and Mike Brown. And so you started seeing these experiences where you couldn't ignore the 24-hour news cycle, and Twitter was a space where people were always sharing their news, right? So that's where we got it. And as we're learning these things and we're coping together, I think that it started to grow, and people that were seeking more information, more community, more firsthand accounts of these things were coming to Twitter because they knew that that's where the news was happening. You had people that were on the ground making recordings and showing the news before it even got on CNN. So I think Black Twitter became its own news source, really, its own firsthand, you know, kind of grassroots news source that attracted a lot of people.
And then what are examples sort of then and now of the power of that amplification?
Well, I think one of the things is that I don't think that if it weren't for Black Twitter, I don't think that George Zimmerman would have ever been indicted on anything. Originally, it seemed like he was just going to walk away from it. But I think that with all of the campaigning and the awareness raising and the petitioning that really cultivated, you know, through Black Twitter connections, this man was actually indicted, you know, and I think that that really set off a lot of, you know, the modern movement against violence, you know, that happens against Black people. So we look at that and we see that Black Twitter was influential in that. We look at some other things like the juror that from that case that was going to write a book, you know, her book got canceled because Black Twitter wasn't having it, right? You look at what happened with the Oscars and things like that. I mean, I think that there's, you know, a number of examples that we can look at in which Black Twitter has influenced. I mean, you could even look on the other side, the positive side of like entertainment, and looking at how your primetime lineups have changed based on, you know, Black Twitter's engagement. So now you're seeing more Black women, for example, in primetime shows. You're seeing more movies coming out that are featuring Black women because Black women really drive Black Twitter. So you're starting to see the response to that. you know, the downside is that people are using, you know, antagonism of Black Twitter as a marketing tool. It's like, oh, let's say something that's going to, you know, upset Black people and see how they react, and we'll get, you know, our message spread. You're seeing that as well. But it's clear to people that are brands and companies and things that Black Twitter is powerful and will spread their message one way or the other.
And do you think, you know, when you talk about that that dynamic and how it works and how, you know, Zimmerman is indicted as a result, or there's more comfort that a primetime show is going to be successful with a Black female lead. I mean, does that dynamic literally come down to visible versus invisible?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think what Twitter has allowed is for voices that have long been marginalized and silenced to actually be centered and be put at the forefront. And so now when you're reading these so-called articles by so-called journalists that are half filled with just taking people's, you know, snapshots of their tweets and they're putting them together and calling those articles, you see the influence that Twitter has. And I can tell you all the times that that's happened with me. My tweet shows up as a foundation or a thesis statement for somebody else's so-called article. And, you know, so that becomes visible, right? People who are just walking down the street living their own lives, they send a tweet, next thing you know, they're hyper visible and thousands of people have read an article and seeing their avatar, you know, so that has definitely changed that dynamic. But I also think that it's been a really powerful tool for those who have long been organizers, long been community activists, long been writers and producers and all these kinds of things to finally be seen and heard in a space that everyone in the world is watching. Because that's where they're drawing their inspiration. That's where they're lifting their ideas, right? Black people have always been the innovators of many cultural things. Black cool, hip hop, you know, most of what America exports comes from Black people. So people are tapping into Black Twitter to see what the next cultural trend is going to be.
To what extent? I mean, it feels like that is translating into representation in some really obvious and powerful ways, like Black Panther alone. You know, once you get sort of Hollywood comfortable with this idea that there will be a market, for example, I don't know why they need to be convinced so often. Nevertheless, you know, how does that translate into something that could lead to real and lasting change in this country?
Well, I think that you're already seeing it. I mean, you know, Tanara Burke started Me Too like almost 10 years ago. And we see, you know, she put in a lot of work on that. And we see what's happening now, right? Because it's finally gotten some amplification, you know, so there is some power in that. I think what you're going to see is it's for me, I'm a little bit cynical, maybe because I'm older and I've seen these kinds of things happen before. But you look at a movie like Girls Trip, for example, featuring four Black, you know, female leads who the movie grossed like $30-40 million. Are we going to see another one of those soon? I don't know. You know, like it could have been a flash in the pan, you know, but we've shown that we do show up. So hopefully Hollywood takes note. But again, you know, when you're looking at the number of women who are even in Hollywood as directors, writers and producers, those numbers are still extremely low. When you look at the people of color that are in there, those numbers are still extremely low. So in terms of accessing the mainstream and what effect this is going to have, I think it will have some. I think it's going to be slow growing, right? But I think that it is going to have, because you can't deny it, right? You can't, it's out there. The discrimination is out there, and the people fighting the discrimination are out there. So you can't really deny it, but we're still not seeing a whole lot of change.
Well, so let's talk a little bit more then about the downsides and dangers. I mean, you mentioned the inevitability of trolling and, you know, people bringing up topics specifically to inflame Black Twitter. And then, of course, there are bots. We learned recently that there were sort of a host of bots created to impersonate people who were posting as part of Black Twitter. Do you worry about the community and the conversation being corrupted?
I mean, when you're Black in America, you know your community is always going to be corrupted in some way, right? Because, you know, the FBI decided that that's how we're all going to live. I think that that's a very real concern. But at the same time, it's like we all understand that we are having public conversations that anyone can access. And so we have to be mindful of, you know, the infiltration. Like I'm very, you know, skeptical about a certain number of accounts. And so there was one that was like Crystal One Johnson. And I was telling people, like for almost a year, I was like, this is a bot. This is not a real account, you guys. Like I said, Black Twitter, we don't make names like this. We don't use these kinds of pictures. We don't, you know, I knew something was up and I was telling people, come to find out it was a Russian bot. And I was just like, you all have to be a lot more discerning with, you know, who you engage because you never know what's going on. At the same time, was it harmful? I don't know the impact that was had, you know, by that particular, account or any of the others. But I think that anytime you gather in a space of organizing and community building and things like that, you're going to see attempts at infiltration. And this dates back to the 1820s when they enacted laws that Black people could not gather without a white person being present because they were afraid of rebellions. So since then, there's always been that kind of curiosity, I think, from white Americans. What are the Black people doing? What are they doing? Why are we not a part of it? How can we be a part of it? There's always that, because I think that there's a latent fear that somehow we're going to be plotting against them. And so Black Twitter is is definitely ripe for that. We have been plotting things. We have been organizing. We have had some covert, ops that have happened in pop-up demonstrations that were coordinated online, but that the public didn't have access to. So I see why they're concerned, but at the same time, we got to do what we need to do for ourselves. And Black Twitter is the most powerful tool we have to be able to organize.